Today, we are ending our series that we've been in called The King's Cross. And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about because he lives, we have life. Amen? Because our Lord is alive, we have life. I was sharing a story with Lori. I don't know what got me on the subject, but I was talking about when I was about 13 years old, living in Little Rock, Arkansas, and we used to play, well, we would go every day in the summer, we'd be at this pool, and we would play sharks and minnows. If you're a swimmer, you've been around a pool, you've played sharks and minnows, you understand the premise of the game, the whole thing. And this one day we were playing, we had played two or three rounds, we just started another one, and we looked down, we had finished, everybody's high-fiving, I looked down, and one of my buddies is not coming out of the water. It was a 15-foot deep pool, because it had a high dive and a low dive, and so I immediately realized he's not moving, jumped in the water, got him to the top, then the lifeguard pulled him up and did real quick CPR, and he came to. And Lori just kind of stopped, she goes, Matt, and she goes, you've actually rescued a lot of people out of water. And it immediately made me think of a story that I want to share with you, talking about how life, how precious life is. And this is it. I had taken around close to 60 people to Trinidad and Tobago on a missions trip. We went down there, and we were there for almost 3 weeks. We had worked our tails off. We had canvassed that entire island, just taking the gospel to people in their homes. And at night, there was always a night rally that we would present Jesus and worship. And we'd get up at 5 a.m. every morning and wouldn't get back to our hotels until midnight. And we had done this. We'd worked, and just seeing thousands of people coming to Jesus. And they finally took us on a beach day. We went to the other side of the island, and we got over there. And guys, I had a shark pita with coleslaw and the hot sauce. It was so good, you know, and I was enjoying it. Got into the water, swimming around, and out there with all my friends and the people we had brought. And all of a sudden, I hear like a couple ladies start screaming, and I turn around, and about 40 yards out, there was a guy flailing. You know it. You know when somebody's struggling in water. And so I swam out there, went under, came up behind him, but he was so panicked, and he was strong, and he turned around and grabbed me around my neck, and we were both starting to go under. So I put my hands under his armpits and pushed him up, and it shot me down. I hit the bottom floor and shot back up. And this time when I came up, I wrenched him. I mean, I almost had him in a full Nelson. I mean, I had him in a lock. I put my hand on his jaw, right in front of his jawbone, and I just squeezed as hard as I could to get him to let go. And he finally grabbed my arm, and I just screamed in the side of his face, "Knock it off! Stop!" And he just went limp. And I was able to swim him back, and I don't know if he understood what I said except for maybe stop, but I got him back to the beach, and we got out, and he's talking to me, but I don't know what he's saying, and his wife runs up with their baby, and she's saying he had a cramp in his leg, and I turned to go like this, like, oh, and the next thing I know that his wife grabs me and starts celebrating and crying. And then the grandmother and some other ladies and then him, the guy, they're all got me and they're jumping up and down, celebrating. And guys, once somebody starts crying, man, I just want to join with them. You know what I mean? So we're having this cry fest out on the beach. But guys, here's the thought right here. Why are they crying? Why are they celebrating? It's because life is precious. I want to celebrate today life because of what was accomplished in and through our Jesus. Life. Our lives are very important to God. We have a go-to scripture. It's John 3:16. We know the King James Version, but I want to give it to you in the Passion Translation. And it says it this way. For here is the way God loved the world. He gave his only son, unique son, as a gift. In the Aramaic, it really kind of talks about that. This is the way he proved he loved us. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and what does it say? And a new life has begun. Amen? Life because of the cross. Life because of the resurrection. Life because of the Holy Spirit and the work within us. Because he lives, we have life. I know that we all have struggles. I know that some of us are in or have come out of difficult seasons of life, but we also have those moments in life where it's a complete joy. I don't know if you guys have ever said this statement with your mouths, but listen to these couple statements. Where you say, it can't get any better than this. Or, now, this is the life. Okay? Now, when I've said those things, it's usually been on a beach, you know, or I'm at a really great place with a view, or we're traveling or something, but we will say these things. I've had people that have said it, and I know that we've all probably said these things, but I remember one time Lori and I rode horseback up to the top of Heavenly Mountain in South Lake Tahoe in the dead winter. They had a tour. They took us up. We were in snow trails that were up 15, 18 feet, and we're on horseback riding up 11,000 feet. And when we got up to the top, guys, I couldn't even control it. It just came out of my mouth like, it just doesn't get any better than this. Look at this view. And I had a buddy one time that showed up to a church picnic, and he had a plate with barbecue and his drink in his hand, and he sat down and he says, now this is the life. Come on. But so it's different for everybody. We say things like this, and listen to what I'm about to say, because something has happened in our lives that is not normal in our day-to-day. But just on the other side, there are those days where we might say this, can it get any worse? Or, I can't do this another day. Or walk out in your backyard where nobody knows you're out there, and you look up to God and you go, seriously, God? Seriously, has this really got to be going on? And we say this because we are desperate for things just to go back to being normal. John 10:10 says, and this is Christ describing Satan, our enemy, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life. Everybody say life. In its fullness, until you overflow. I love the visual of something overflowing. And it goes because it's going beyond its capacity. Because he lives, we have life because he lives. I want to get right into these thoughts. And my first one is this. Because he lives, people recognize that I spend time with Jesus. Because he lives, people recognize that we spend time with Jesus. In 2009, I went to my 25th high school reunion. And I show up, and when you haven't seen people in 25 years, and really Facebook, I think I'd only been on Facebook for maybe a year at the time, so you're not connected with all these people, and you walk in, there's probably about 50 of them there, and you don't recognize anybody. I don't look the same. They don't look the same. And the only way we could see, they had like 15 or 20 yearbooks there, and we would sit down and find each other as we're talking, and we'd go, oh, that was you. You know what I mean? You're looking at each other. Our all-star running back walked in. We would have never known it was him, and he comes in with two crutches, and he's got to have both knees and hips replaced. You know, we're having conversations. Oh, we did this, whatever. I had a guy sitting across the table from me, and he goes, Matt, can you tell your dad something? Had no idea he knew my dad. He goes, I said, sure, what do you want me to say? He goes, tell him he was the best football coach I've ever played for. And all of a sudden, it just took me back. When my dad coached us for a couple years with Coleman Dairy, and I recognized him. So we're catching up. We're doing these things. We're talking about life. And all of a sudden, we go to another part of the venue where the pool was in the back. Now, guys, remember now, maybe 80% of these people that were there even go to church. So what happened in the pool, it all of a sudden the party went to another level. Is everybody with me? They're acting like they're 16 years old out there still. And they're just out there and they're being crazy and they're saying, come on, Matt, get in the pool. And I'm like, I got to catch a flight at 5 a.m. I'm not getting in the pool. And so I'm just talking to people and they're doing their thing. And all of a sudden somebody comes up and sits beside me. I turn and this girl says, and here's what she said. She goes, you don't know me, do you? Or you don't recognize me. And I said, man, I go, I really don't. I'm sorry. And I said, what's your name? And when she said her name, immediately I realized who she was. She used to play on the girls' high school basketball team. And we used to hang out and talk. And I was like, hey, what's up? And I gave her a hug and everything. She immediately begins to kind of tell me her life story. She was talking about how she had a child. And literally a month later, her husband leaves her for another man. She has an immune deficiency, a disease that kind of like got on from all the stress, and now all of a sudden she's gained all this weight, and she's starting to lose her hair. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to her, and she goes, I want to say something to you, Matt. And I said, okay, what is it? And she pulls her chair over by me, and she says, you're different. And I said, I am? She says, yeah. She goes, from what you've been saying today, she goes, I can see that it's different. I believe everything that you have said tonight. And guys, I'm going to be honest with you. They're asking me, what are you doing now? I'm a pastor. You know, I'm doing this, whatever. And they can just see I'm not who I was back in 1984. Is everybody with me? And so they're seeing this. And so I just immediately go, well, can I pray for you? And she says, yeah. And so here we are. We're getting ready for prayer. And over here, they're getting cray-cray. They're going nuts in the pool, everything. But we're over here, and I'm going to Jesus. And so I begin to pray for her. I begin to start praying and breaking curses and talking to her, you know, with going to God and talking with her and just praying and praying. And next thing you know, all of a sudden, I hear some splashing, and five of these people get out of the pool, and they come over, and they come around and start praying for us. Guys, they are dripping so much water on us, I might as well have gotten in the pool and started swimming, you know? But we're praying. And then when I got done and I turned around and I looked, I realized, well, I know three of these have never set foot in church. You know what I mean? But they are praying because something's going on that is different. God was showing up on the side of this pool. And guys, here's the thought that I want to give you. People recognize people who have spent time with Jesus. Not bragging, I'm just telling you, people recognize when God is at work in your life. Acts 4:13, Peter and John have been brought before the Sanhedrin, and they're going off on them, they're threatening them with all this stuff, and this is what it says. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. In the TPT, it says they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with him. So what's jumping off of Scripture right now at us is this. They had been with Jesus, and they had been spending time with him. That means that they were mimicking him. That's mean that they were applying the words that Jesus had spoken in their lives. When I was 9 years old, my father signed me up for a track camp, and so I was, you know, running this, and they had me running the 100-yard dash, and they had me doing the long jump, and, you know, I'm 9 years old, so you're really raw. They're still teaching stuff. Well, my coach takes me, and for 5 days, he puts me in the blocks, and he says, Matt, I want you to launch out of the blocks. I just want you to jump out like you're jumping out to grab something, and wherever your right foot lands, I want you to be in control. I don't want you to be out of control, that you would be able to take your next step. Let's see how far you can launch out of the blocks. So we did this over and over and over to where I'm launching out of the blocks. I'm launching out of the blocks. Pretty soon, I'm getting farther and farther away, and I'm in control for my next step. Then the next thing he says, all right, now we're going to work on everything firing at the same time. Coming out, firing. Everything's firing. He said, I want your toes to fire at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, I just want your entire body to be going. Then he takes us and he says, okay, now we're going to anticipate the gun. When is it going to fire? And be ready to be anticipating. And you guys, and I'm sitting there, and I'm doing these things, and guess what happens? Then all of a sudden, then I hear my father, when he coached me in football, and it goes through it. It's like, oh, okay, now it's like, how to be first off the line, powerful first step, all of this. And all of a sudden, I'm applying this in whatever sport I played, whether it was soccer, whether it was football, whether it was basketball. I'm doing these things. I'm recognizing the importance of it. And guys, I got invited to this camp. It was in 1982. It was between my junior and senior year, University of Central Arkansas. And there were 75 of us. And we had worked all week. And at the end, just to let us have some fun, they did a one-on-one tournament. Huge trophies for the winners and stuff. And the guy who won the tournament never shot one jump shot. He literally won the tournament by breaking either to the left or to the right for a layup, and nobody could stop him. Why? Because he had such a strong first step. Nobody could anticipate. They'd back up from him, and he would still somehow get to the rim, and he won the entire tournament based off of mimicking what somebody else showed him. muscle memory, doing it over and over and over, mimicking what I learned, taking what my dad and my coaches ingrained in me, and I have applied it to my life. And here's what I've discovered in my journey with Jesus. It wasn't enough that I just tried to be like Jesus. I needed to spend more time with Jesus. Come on, church. I needed to spend more time with him. And the only way we will ever become imitators of Christ, it's you and I drawing near to him. It's us drawing close to God. Look at these two scriptures very quickly. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, James 4:8. Ephesians 5:1, very quickly, it says, be imitators of God in everything you do. You take that word imitator out of the scripture and look at it in the Greek, and that's mimetes. And mimetes is talking about you are a follower. You are an imitator of who you're following. And it goes on to even say in the translation that it's like an actor who dives deep into the role, his or her role, whatever they're wanting to act, whether it's in a movie or on the stage. God wants us to mimic him, to be filled with his thoughts, to be filled with his love, to be filled with his deeds, his character, and to have his Holy Spirit in us. It's spending time, it's investing time in our relationship with Jesus. The world may be lost, and the world might seem like they don't care, and they're unconcerned about what's going on in our lives, but I want to make something very, very clear to every person in here that is a believer. The enemy knows every decision that you make. He's paying attention to it. He's very, very interested in what you're doing. The world is also aware. Some will be drawn to your faith, and others will hate you for it. Guys, in John 15:18, it says, if the world hates you, remember that they hated me first. Guys, when I accepted Jesus in 1984, and and I'm going to talk about this more, but I remember that the day that I chose to accept Jesus into my heart, I lost every friend that I went to high school with, and every person that I worked at Wet n Wild with didn't even have anything to do with me because of a decision to follow my Jesus. John 13:35, for when you demonstrate the same love I have for you, and by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. That no matter what, people recognize the one who spends time with God. Paul writes in Galatians, he's watching a church that he was very involved with. And they're starting to turn away from the teachings. They're not living the way he knows that he showed them and how they were getting into the Word and understanding what Jesus had done. And now all of a sudden they're pulling away. And he writes this in Galatians 4:19. He says this, I feel as I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is what? What's it say? Fully developed in your lives. In the NIV, it says, until Christ is formed in you. What a visual. That Christ is being formed in us to where there's going to have to be a birthing, where he comes out and people recognize that you're not just someone that talks Jesus, you're actually walking Jesus. Come on. For some of us, we are here and we need this to happen in our lives. You say, well, Pastor Matt, how is this possible? When I gave my heart to Jesus, I had to dive into something called faith. Everybody say faith. Because I had given my heart to Jesus. There was no doubt. I wanted Jesus in my life. But it was raw. I'm still trying to go to frat parties. I'm still trying to do this. I'm still trying to investigate. I'm still, and what's going on is all of a sudden, because of faith, because I have to actually get involved in this, all of a sudden I'm realizing, this ain't right. This is a mess. I'm dirty. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I would wake up and go, I don't want to ever do that again. And so in faith, that's you as an individual saying, I need to start believing. I need to start seeking. I got to search well. I need to ask questions. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to have a conversation with God where you're asking him tough questions because he's big enough to answer any question we might ever want to ask. Spending time with him. It's having face time with God, not just when things are good. Hear what I'm about to say. More importantly, when nothing is going right. We are not promised tomorrow. We were never promised things would go perfect after our salvation. But we are promised that anytime we need Jesus, anytime we approach Christ, anytime we call his name, he will be there. So this leads me to my second thought. Because he lives, people recognize that I spend time with Jesus and I have purpose and I have my why. Everybody say why. I was in real estate from 2018 to 2020. And so I, God bless me. I had an amazing two very fruitful years with real estate. I capped out my first year in real estate language. It's basically you sell these homes for the company you work for and they take a part of your commission. And for the one that I worked with, once I hit $13,000, then everything that I sold after became 100% commission for me. And so I capped out. So me and some others were invited to this master's class session for training, and so we're all there. We're celebrating and high-fiving and saying congratulations, and the guy tells us to take our seat, and he turns to the whiteboard, and he writes this question: what is your why? And I kind of knew where he was going with it, and he turns around and he says, why do you get up and grind every day for your business? I started hearing everything. We're sitting around this table, and all of a sudden, it's like, I do this for my wife. I do this for my husband. I do this for my kids. I want to retire early. I want to be able to travel. The lady sitting to my left says, my mom is sick in hospice up in Boston, and I've got to send money up to her, so I do it for that. And I knew kind of where I was going. I just wanted to be transparent. And the guy right beside me says exactly what I was going to say. He said, I just do it because I want to make sure we got food on the table, that we're able to take care of our clothes and to take care of the family and all this kind of stuff. And so, and he basically follows up our answers. He says this, that even when you struggle, church, hear what I'm about to say. He would say, even though there might rain 12 days in a row and you can't even get out of your car to go door knocking, when it's so cold that you don't even want to go out and work, he says there's going to be days that's so hot. You're going to have people backing out of contracts. You're going to have all this stuff going on. You do this so that you can have something in your pipeline and that you're building your business. Is everybody with me? And that means you have to get out and you have to have face-to-face interactions with people. It has to happen for this to take off. Jesus was all about his why and his purpose. Look at this in Mark 1. It just kind of starts off just a banger right off the bat. Verse 35, before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Let's stop here for a second. Here's what we believe. Jesus is up in northern Galilee, right on the water. They believe he was in Capernaum. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law. There's been other people healed. There's been demons cast out and all this. And it says right here that later, Simon, Peter, and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. Guys, you have to see a little bit of Jesus' attitude there. He's like, Peter, we can't just stay in one place. Like, we have to go do this somewhere else. We need to go and present the words of my Father to other people. And it says, that is, what's it say? Why I came. He knew his why. He knew his purpose. Everybody who is a Christ follower has their why. I believe every follower of Christ has a purpose that goes beyond, listen to what I'm about to say, just trying to make it to heaven. Man, guys, if that's really what's going on here for some of us, listen, I get it. I get the thief on the cross. He was nailed up there hanging next to Jesus, and he asked Jesus to remember him. He says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And I know that sometimes happens for people at the last moments of their life. But for those of us who are coming on Sunday, those of us that are trying to minister, that are trying to get involved with the church, how sad it would be that if we went our entire lives and we never led someone to Jesus, that we didn't have some conversation with somebody about Christ that we could point them toward a better way. Listen, I'm not just trying to make it into heaven. You know, I have loved ones in my own family that I want to see come to Jesus. How many of you have people you need to come to Jesus? Amen? Come on. We are called to reach our network of friends and those that we work at work. We are invested in this church, Harvest. We have hearts. Some of us have hearts to go across seas and to preach the gospel and to be an influence over there. We want to see people find deliverance. How many of you guys know that there is a deliverance movement that's taking place in America and around the world right now? And we're talking about addictions. We're talking about demons coming out of people. There is a deliverance movement going on because of the Holy Spirit. And God is saying today that there are those here that need to hear this. Pay attention to your passions. Man, I would go home. If I was you, I would encourage you to do this. Write on a little green notey. What's my why? What's my purpose this week? What's my purpose for the next couple weeks? But paying attention to your passions. Don't be distracted from what God is calling you to. Think about Nehemiah, how passionate he was to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. How Esther was so passionate about protecting her people. And Daniel was passionate about being beneficial to Nebuchadnezzar. But listen to what I'm about to say. While still holding on to what made him distinctly Hebrew. Did y'all catch what I'm saying? He's in another land working under a king that does not believe like him, yet he knew who he was. We are living in a culture, I'm just telling you, that if you, to be relevant culturally, we have to bend to what they believe. Guys, listen. I'm going to offend some people. Let's just do this right here. Tell me that you love, just say, Pastor Matt, we love you. Come on. Because, listen, wiggle your toes. I've done this before because I'm going to step on your toes. Everybody wiggle your toes. Guys, we have pastors that a lot of us follow online that are changing their theology so that they can be relevant culturally. They're changing what they believe about homosexuality. They are trying to convince us that there are different rules for gender now. And we have those that are also saying that hell doesn't exist because hell is right now that everybody's going to make it into heaven. Guys, that literally takes away the value of Jesus going to the cross and him raising on the third day. So this is what's going on. And we have believers. There might be some of us in here struggling right now because we love somebody that might be doing something that's so ungodly, but we just have to almost in our hearts go, yeah, but they're going to make it to heaven. And I'm just telling you that without repentance and finding Jesus and believing that he can change them, that's the only way any of us are going to be going to heaven. Amen. Because Jesus lives. Everybody say because. Because our God is alive. We have everything we need to go after what God puts on our hearts. Stay passionate. Stay focused on what God has given you a passion for. To do whatever God calls you to do. For whatever our purpose or our why might require from us. God is going to give you all that you could possibly need to fulfill your destiny. All right, I'm going to call the worship team to come up. Can we put our hands together and let's just thank our worship team. Did such a great job today. Amen. Amen. Because he lives. Here's my third and final thought, and it's this right here. Because he lives, people recognize that I spend time with Jesus. Because he lives, I have purpose and I have my why. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow. William, why don't you sing this for us? You guys, let's just worship for a second together here.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because His way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory. Yeah. I know He reigns because He lives. I can face.
Because He lives. Listen very carefully the way I word this, because I want this to resonate with somebody in here. Sometimes we fear what our tomorrow might bring because today seemed almost too much to handle. Sometimes we fear what our tomorrow might bring because today seemed almost too much to handle. Questions that have never been answered. Situations that seem unfair, hurts that you can't resolve, and sometimes our lives, believe it or not, church, they get incredibly complicated. And there's this thought, and it's going to come up on the screen for you, is that if God brings me to it, He will bring me through it. And I believe this is what I know, this is what I stand on, that if God brings me to it, He is going to bring me through it because He lives. I want to give you just real quick three things right here. Because He lives, I can face what happened yesterday. Everybody's yesterday is going to be different. For some of us, we barely survived yesterday. Some of us, we have no desire to face our yesterdays because there's a lot of side streets and dark alleys that we would have to walk down. Things that we chose to do. Things that we didn't choose to happen to us. We lost somebody in death, and the pain and the grieving continue to eat away at our hearts. Memories, words that were said, hurts that were put upon us, images, guys, images that we can't get out of our heads, choices and chapters of life that still hold you captive. And your yesterday has no peace, no forgiveness, and no moving forward. But I want to remind you of something, that Jesus died on the cross. And because He was raised on the third day, because He lives, our past does not have the final say. Come on, church. Jesus does. Not sin, not shame, not addiction, not even words that cannot be taken back. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. Matt Donahue brought it out. Listen, death has actually lost its sting because He lives. God stands ready to walk with you, to teach you, and to even bring discipline back in your lives. How many of you guys love discipline? Come on now. Hebrews 12:11, coming out of the New Century Version, it says it this way. We do not enjoy being disciplined. It is painful at the time, but later, after we have learned from it, we have peace because we start living in the right way. Because He lives. Your yesterday is not your future. Because He lives, the chains of your past are going to break, which leads into this. I can, because He lives, face whatever happens today. I didn't say this morning. I'm going to say this now. I had probably four people that walked up to me after service, and they were transparent because of what they were facing today. And I don't know what's going on in your life today, but I want you to know something, that because He lives, we don't serve metal, wood, or stone. We serve the living God, amen? That whatever you have brought in here today, and it's a chain and it's heavy and it is burdensome, I want you to know that in a little bit I'm going to invite you. You can actually handle this today and he will meet you. Amen. So I love it that we get to give our day to God, that he will be with me. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you, never, and I will not loosen my grip on your life. Guys, I've done this before. I'm going to do it again. Hold on a second. There are times that we lay in bed and we are thinking of every reason why we don't want to get up, why we don't want to face our day, the things that we went to sleep thinking about, we wake up and we're already thinking about it again. But there's something about that when we put our feet on the floor, we turn, we get up, we put our feet on the floor, and we've got tough decisions to make, we've got tough things to go through, we don't want to face it, but there's something about putting our feet on the floor and we stand up and we create movement. That's only going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, that he gives us the ability. And some of us have giants to face today. Look what Max Lucado says. Focus on your giants, you stumble. You focus on God, giants tumble. Come on, that's good. So amazing how we can be in something that's been going on for months or maybe even for years, and every night we go to bed thinking about it, and every morning we get up waking up thinking about it. Isn't it amazing, though, that in God's timing as he walks us through these things, that there's one night that we go to sleep and we wake up the next morning and something has changed. Something has shifted. There's a new day right here. Psalms 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. I love being able to give my day to Christ because he lives. And here's my third thought. I can face what might happen tomorrow. Church, I just want to say this with all the love in my heart, is that we here at Harvest, we want people to not come here and act like they have to be fake or feel like they're being isolated or that they can't. I want whoever comes through these doors to feel like they know that first of all, they've walked into the presence of God, they've had the chance to worship, they've had the chance to give to him, they've heard the word of God, and that they also get the opportunity to spend time with him. That's important. Because he lives, I can face no matter what's going to happen tomorrow. People recognize that I spend time with Jesus, I have purpose and I have my why, and I can face my tomorrow. I will not stay another day on the road of sadness or confusion. Amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Let's all stand together. Take us through one time here on the song. We're going to worship, and then I'm going to give a call. I'm going to give a plea to you guys. But let's just worship together real quickly.